Welcome and good evening. I'd like to thank everybody for coming to Chodesh V'Chodesho Shir. This is dedicated to the memory of my father-in-law, Noach Moshe ben Yitzchak Elchanan HaKohen, and also Daniel Lang's father, Shmuel ben Moshe. We're glad to have Rabbi Uri Cohen here to give us a shir. Take it away.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks to all the people who do all the behind-the-scenes work in arranging Chodesh V'Chodesho Shir in general, and this month in particular. So it's not Adar yet, but we're so close. We're so close that people are already thinking about Purim and planning their Mishloach Manot. So it's a good time to talk about what is preferable for sending Mishloach Manot. I don't know who first said this, but I like to quote that it's been noted that there's a Jewish holiday and a non-Jewish holiday. Both involve people dressing up, and especially, you know, in the stores before the holidays, you have lots of costumes and masks and things. So is it just that Purim is the Jewish Halloween, or is there something more to it? So there's a lot of ways of answering the question, but the answer that I heard that I like is that, yes, there is a difference. Halloween, the main action is going door-to-door trick-or-treating, which is fundamentally an act of taking, right? Give me stuff or I'll hurt you. And on Purim, the main action is an act of giving, Mishloach Manot. So that way we feel superior. Our dress-up holiday is better than their dress-up holiday. But it is interesting that on the one hand, technically, to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot, you have to do very, very, very little. On the other hand, perhaps because it's so easy, just like on Hanukkah, you also have to do very little, right? One candle every night. But it developed that, of course, you do the 1 through 8 candles that are cheap, and it became a standard thing. So, too, apparently, it's become standard to give a lot of people a lot of food or different types of food. So you could argue that the question that we're addressing in the shir is not so practical in the sense that most of us give lots of people, and therefore, at some point, if we didn't fulfill the mitzvah with this one, we fulfill the mitzvah with that one. Well, that's probably true, but in terms of planning and possibly, especially if you want to do Mishloach Manot on the ideal level, it does make a difference, or it could make a difference, how the mitzvah should be understood. But as with pretty much everything else on Purim, there's very little in terms of the original halacha. And then the question is, how is it developed? Is it possible that there are other higher levels to aspire to, perhaps? Ultimately, there's a lot less material for anything regarding Purim than with anything regarding, let's say, Pesach. But we're not thinking about Pesach. That's far away. We're not thinking about that at all. If you look in source number one, there's the mitzvah is mentioned twice in Megillat Esther itself. One of them is in Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Tet. The Jews make the 14th. Of other unto simcha umishtev yom tov umishuach manot ishur ehu. According to this first mention of it, what is the day about? Happiness, partying, a holiday, and sending food. Okay, so we know from elsewhere that there's an obligation of reading the Megillah. But if we just look at this first pasuk, then really part of the holiday is sending food. And it's repeated, in fact. It's repeated at the end of the paragraph in pasuk chaf bet, because this was the day in which that was switched from sorrow to happiness and from mourning to a holiday. So we make these days, the 14th and the 15th of Adar, into Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, days of partying and happiness. U'mishloach manot ishur ehu, and sending portions, one person to the other. U'matanos levyonim, and now we add, and gifts to the poor. So it's repeated. Okay, the question is, what exactly do you have to do, and how do you do it? As we will see shortly, there's really all you have to do is send 2 pieces of food to one person. That's it. That's really it. And then you're done. Okay, but nevertheless, the question is, two questions. Is there a value in sending more? And we'll see that, yes. But how do you define a portion, or how do you define two? The thing that I can say with absolute certainty is not the way that you define two, is two different foods, each with a different bracha. Now, how do I know with absolute certainty that you that this is not the case? Because I'm not the first one to notice that it doesn't seem to be in the regular books. Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff that's not in the regular books, but maybe you have specialty books. Maybe somebody somewhere wrote about it. Well, I'm happy to say that with the advent of the internet and the accessibility of many books, it is a lot easier now than in previous generations to say, no, really. If there's any opinion whatsoever on the topic, it would be in this book or that book. And if it isn't there, then it does not exist. And in fact, this is an example of a chumrah, a strict opinion that seems to have been made up in the last generation. It does not appear in any of the books, even the books that bring the most extreme opinions, the most unheard of opinions, opinions that no one's ever heard of that are still in those books. This is not even there at all. And then the question is, where did it come from and why? So a couple of speculations in sources 2 and 3 on the LookJed email list, that's for the Lookstein Center for Jewish Education in Diaspora at Bar-Ilan University. It was posed as a question on two or three different times. One of those times, Rabbi David Weibor responded. He's he's the head of the overseas program at Yeshivat Shalvim, and he pointed out that there's no halachic source for two brachot, and he adds an interesting note on this, is that it seems to be a mishigas, like some crazy thing that is distinctly American in origin. I asked a number of my Israeli colleagues, and no one had ever heard of such a thing. Even so, every American that I spoke with seems to have heard of it. I don't know if that's exactly a proof. I would assume that when he says American, he means Anglo, Chutzaretz, but that would explain. If you can only find it in English-speaking sources, that would explain why it doesn't appear in any of the Hebrew books. That would explain it. But it still doesn't explain how far back it goes. The way that this started in one of the questions that people asked on the LookJed list was with a post called, "Are we teaching mistakes to our students?" And the question was, what should a teacher do if they discover that everybody in the class seems to know a particular thing, which they probably learned from the teacher from the previous year or the year before that, and it's wrong. So just so like as an educational question, it starts that way. But in part of answering that question is you first have to establish that there isn't a source for it. Maybe the second teacher thinks that there is no source, but really there is. So that's how you open the question up, and you ask people. And fortunately, one of the people who responded was Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky, who lives in Nofei Aviv. And he has written on a bunch of topics. He usually publishes them in Jewish Action, the OU magazine. The approach, I forgot what it's, What's the Truth About is the official column, also known as Jewish Urban Legends, in which he tries to explore why people think a particular thing that happens not to be correct, a particular halacha, a particular interpretation, where does it come from? So he has a theory to explain where it comes from. Again, it's very bizarre. It's not that it doesn't make any sense. It would make sense if that were the halacha, but it's a little bizarre that so many people have heard of it, and it does not appear in print anywhere. So he suggests in source number 3, it may be that this custom developed so as to avoid the difficulty of determining what is considered two types of food, since two pieces of the same food are considered one type, source Tzitz Eliezer. As we will see, that is a chumrah, that is a strict opinion. That's not necessarily the case in the bottom line halacha, but if that is the case, so you could say, well, in order to make sure that you distinguish and make sure that it's two different types of food, so instead of following a regular halacha, instead you make up a chumrah and say, well, if we have two different brachot, then for sure it must be two different types of food. Well, that's true, but it's not something that anybody ever came up with that in the sense of fitting into mainstream chumras. If we can look back and try to speculate, but then you could speculate and then say, but actually you don't need to do that. So he goes on to say, this problem could, of course, be avoided by using one food and one drink, but there are those who suggest that it's preferable to use two food items and no drinks. That would be an example of a chumrah. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Mishnah Berurah, most of these chumras. If you look in some of the later sources, you can find chumras. Maybe manot has to be food. Apparently the word mana means a portion of food, and it's only used in the context of food, in which case, in the question is, does food include drink? okay, we can debate it. Since it does not appear in the earlier sources, the answer presumably is, yeah, why not? But if you wanted to make up a chumrah, okay, this one actually does appear in the sources. And again, he mentions another chumrah there. Those who suggest that two types of fruit or two types of wine, even one red and one white, are considered one type of food or one kind of drink. That one at least appears in the sources, although again, only on the level of chumrah. And others even recognize two cuts of meat, even from the same animal, as two types of food, since they have different tastes. Okay, we will see where that comes from. We're going to get to all these opinions in the course of the shiur. However, none of these opinions are in the classic sources. And if anything, since there's only one original source that speaks in the Gemara, since there's only one source that speaks about Mishloach Manot, and since that source mentions nothing of the kind, of anything that we've just mentioned, so presumably these are not such a big deal. If anything, the source that we're about to look at, again, the only source in the Gemara that speaks about Mishloach Manot, surprisingly would seem to point in a completely different direction from what everybody does. Just to clarify, what most people do is, instead of giving two pieces of food to one person and then going on to forget about Mishloach Manot and continue preparing for their Seuda, what most people do is they give a lot of people, or at least several people, a plate of food, a pile of food, different types of candy, etc. In other words, not two items to one person, but several items to a bunch of people. As we're about to see from the Gemara, it sounds like that was not the original idea, at least as is understood in the Gemara. Let's look at the Gemara together. It's in source number 4, Gemara Megillah. Again, this is the only original source in Chazal. Tanu Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught. It says in Megillat Esther, "Umishloach manot ishlo re'ehu," sending portions one person to his friend. That means shtei manot le'ish echad, two portions to one person. Manot is plural, ish is singular. That means that two pieces of food to one person. That's it. That's what the mitzvah is. In contrast, umatanot le'evyonim, gifts to the poor. Both words there are plural. So that means that translates into shtei matanot lishnei bnei adam, two gifts, which presumably, since it's tzedakah, presumably it's money, although it could be food, two gifts to two different people, meaning one and one. Okay, that's it. And even though we're not going to look at it in the context of this sheet, the well-known Rambam says it's better to spend your money on matanos avyonim. That's where you should put your effort, because after all, that's it. It's a very big deal to help the poor. But technically speaking, two gifts, whatever a gift is, to each of one each to two different poor people, and two pieces of food to one person. Okay, how did the Gemara now illustrates Mishloach Manot with several stories of rabbis in the Gemara, and they all have one thing in common, and that is we don't do it at all. Okay, the way that they did this. Let's look inside. Three lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda, the grandson of the famous Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who was also the Nasi, and therefore he was in the most prominent position of the Jews, the equivalent of the king, okay, presumably very wealthy, Shadar Wei Rabbi Oshia. He sent Rabbi Oshia the following things for Mishloach Manot. Atma de Igla Tilta, the leg of a third-born calf, apparently a third-born calf, not the first-born, second-born, but the third-born was considered especially good-tasting. Okay, he sent not a little piece, but the entire leg of the calf, Vigarba de Chamra, and a barrel of wine. Okay, so if I stopped here, I'd say, well, that's because he was very rich. Okay, so he could afford to do that. But you'll notice that he only sent two items. He sent a large amount of each item, but he only sent it to one person. That's it. The Gemara continues, Shalach Lei, Rabbi Oshia sent back to him. Apparently Rabbi Oshia didn't have any food, or if he had food, it's not recorded what he sent, but he sent back a message, Kiyamta Banu Rabbeinu, our teacher, you have fulfilled, by sending that to us, you have fulfilled Umishloach Manot Ishvor Ehu Umatana Levyonim. You have fulfilled both mitzvot together because you sent me two portions of food, or two types of food, and I'm poor. So you get a two in one, or a two for two. So that's very convenient. That way you only have to send if you send two pieces of two items, at least if they're big, to a poor person, you fulfill both. Rabba Shadarwe, a different story. Rabba Shadarwe Lamari Bar Mar. Rabba sent the following to Mari Bar Mar, Biyad Abaye, through Abaye. Abaye was the messenger, and he's going to be the one who has the most to say in this story. Rabba sent Male Taska de Kasava. He sent a sack filled with dates. Umale Kasa Kimcha de Ivshuna. And a cup filled with the flour of roasted grains, which Rashi explains that first they would dry the grains in the oven, they would roast them, and then the flour made from that is especially sweet. Okay, so what did he send? A sack of dates and a cup of the special flour. Amarwe Abaye said to Rabba, the one who was sending it, Hashta Amar Mari, you know what? The rabbi whom you're sending it to, he could say the following thing. This is not gonna be especially nice. He could say, upon receiving these two things from you, he could recite the proverb, Ichakua Amalka Lehave, if a peasant would become a king, Dikua Mitzavre Lo Nachis, shouldn't he take the basket off his neck? Meaning that if you get promoted to a position of power and money, presumably you don't act like a regular person anymore. And you, sir, have sent regular stuff. Okay, so Abaye was telling Rabba that actually the two things that you sent are not really that good. Hadar shadar le ihu. So Abaye conveyed the gift, and then Mari Bar Mar sent back to Rabba the following: Male taska dezan gavila, a sack filled with ginger; Male kasa de pilpalta arika, and a cup filled with long peppers. Again, so far every single example is two types of food and a container of each. Amar Abaye said to the second rabbi, upon looking at this that he's supposed to convey back, Hashta Amar Mar, you know what? The first rabbi can say, Ana Shadri Le Chulia, I sent him sweet stuff. V'ihu Shadri Le Churfa, and he sent me back Harif stuff. Like this is not a good deal. I sent good stuff, and I get back this sharp stuff. So Abaye basically had something to say nasty about everybody's gift. And the story concludes, Abaye now becomes a narrator and comments on what happened when he got to from one house to the next. Amar Abaye, ki nafki mi bei mar, when I left the house of that rabbi, hava savana, I was full, like sviut. Ki matai wahata, when I got to the other rabbi's house, karivui shitin sai de shitin mine kadeira, they brought me 60 plates on which were 60 types of food, presumably one on each. 60 is the Gemara's standard number for a lot. Okay, so even if it's not literally 60, it's a lot. They brought me a lot of different types of food. And I ate 60 different pieces, meaning I ate something from each one. First he was full, and then he ate 60 different types of food. And the last dish, they called it the roast of the pot. Apparently Abaye had never had a pot roast before. Ubay Wimechas Tsa Abatra, and it was so good that I wanted to eat the plate afterwards. I'm not sure why this is all recorded, but Abaye now comments on his own story. Amar Abaye, Hainu de Amar Inshi, this is just what, like the proverb that people say, Kafin Anya Velo Yada. The poor person is hungry and he doesn't know it. In other words, I thought that I was full, but apparently I was able to eat a lot more. Inami, or alternatively, a different proverb. Ravcha levesima shkiach. Shkiach means it is found, it is common, that there is ravcha, there is space, levesima, to the sweet thing. Or, to put in our terms, there's always room for dessert. You thought that was a contemporary proverb. No, that's actually from the Gemara. That's the end of Abaye's story. I'm not sure why we have all this other than to tell us something about eating. Finally, Abaye bar Avin of Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, two brothers. How did they fulfill Mishuach Manot? They exchanged meals. So some of the commentaries say they were poor, so they didn't have food, but everybody has a plate of food for the meal, so they exchanged plates, and that was it. So what do we see from... this is it. We have now finished all the primary sources. Okay, so what do we see from here? You should give a significant, an impressive amount of two different foods. I'm not sure why otherwise the Gemara tells us these stories, if not to say that that's the ideal. We do not find that's formulated this way in the halacha. But if we're looking for a chumrah, if we're looking for some way to give at least once on Purim, not the spreading around the good feeling to everybody, but rather Following according to the highest level, presumably the highest level would be the way that it's done in the Gemara of these rabbis. Give a large amount of each of two different things. I should point out that there's a standard chakira, there's a standard conceptual dichotomy between of how to understand mishloach manot, which applies to many different aspects. It's not found in the classic sources. It is found between two of the either late Rishonim or early Achronim. The Trumas Hadeshen, it's not on the sheet. The Trumas Hadeshen suggests that the purpose of Mishloach Manot is to give everybody a meal. Okay, even if somebody's so poor and proud, so he's not going begging, this way everybody gets a meal. That's the Trumas Hadeshen. Mishloach Manot is about providing people with a meal. In contrast, the Sefer Manot Halevi by Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, better known for writing Lecha Dodi, he says that the purpose of Mishloach Manot is to spread Ahava V'Reus, to spread love and friendship among people. There are at least a dozen, if not a couple of dozen, practical ramifications between these two conceptual ways of looking at Mishloach Manot. The way that we collectively seem to look at it, at least in terms of giving everybody a little plate of candy, we seem to look at it in the second way. We want to spread love by making everybody happy, or at least the kids happy, or whoever's eating the candy. So you're not eating that as part of the meal. That's not the point. The point is you give everybody, and you give lots of people, and everybody's happy. In contrast, if we were to truly follow the Trumas Hadeshen, again, it's not clear whether either of these is binding, but if we follow the Trumas Hadeshen, then you would give somebody a meal. And presumably a support for the Trumas Hadeshen is all these stories in the Gemara in which rabbis give large amounts. Of course, you could still respond, no, I'm sorry, a sack of ginger is not a meal. Okay, fine, fair enough. You could say that this Gemara does not fit with either of them. Question? On Purim, Sudat Purim.
Is that the earliest source we have for Mishloach Manot should aim to fulfill the Suda?
Yes and no. He's the first one who says that's the purpose of it. What we do find is indications connecting Mishloach Manot to the meal, and one of those indications is, in fact, the next source, the Rambam, who speaks about the meal, and in the middle of a paragraph speaking about the meal, he speaks about giving people food. So and it's formulated that way in the Shulchan Aruch as well. There's the Siman, Tafresh Tzadehei, is called Su'udat Purim. And in the middle of that Siman, he starts talking about giving people Mishloach Manot. So presumably he's talking about, at the meal, you hand somebody food. Or you, during the time of the meal, you give people food for the meal. That's not explicit. It's not formulated as that's what it's all about. But you could argue that from the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch formulate it, that it would seem that that's what they had in mind.
What's from the wording of the Megillah?
What was that?
And also from the wording of the Megillah.
That what? So right, so you could say it ties into the Mishteh, and the Mishteh is the party which has to be by day. We assume in halacha that whatever you do Purim night does not count for halacha purposes. Neither whatever meal you eat, nor whatever drinking you do, nor whatever food you're giving other people, it doesn't count. Okay, it's all during the day. And so some want to tie that in. Yeah, that's a good point. So the way it's formulated is, In the pasuk is Mishloach Manot connected to the Mishteh. Okay, so minimally it has to be done by day, and maximally it should be somehow seuda type food. Again, it's not formulated this way as an absolute minimum, but if you're looking for presumably the ideal or perhaps the original way, it could be that's what you should do. The Rambam in source number 5 formulates it this way: Ketzad chovat seuda zo. What is the obligation of this meal of the Purim seuda? Sheyochal basar. You have to eat meat. Make a nice meal in accordance with the money that you have. And you drink wine until you get drunk and fall asleep in drunkenness. This, according to the Rambam, that's what drinking on Purim is. Drinking at the meal, and only at the meal. And so too, what do you mean so too? So too, presumably an extension of the meal. You have to send two portions of meat. Oh, shnei minei tavshil, or two types of cooked food. Oh, shnei minei ochlin, or two types of food in general. L'chaveh rog. to somebody else. Shneamar, as it says, Mishmach Manot Yishuar Ehu, which means the Rambam is quoting the Gemara that we saw, source 4, Shtei Manot Yishachad, two portions to one person. And this is where what the next line is, what we rely on in sending to more than one person. The more you send to friends, the better. He doesn't make it clear whether the more you send to any given person, the better, or the more friends you send to, the better. It could be read either way. If you don't have any food to give, then just swap with somebody, as we saw in the Gemara. This one sends his meal to this one. And this one sends his meal to the other one. That's the minimum. What's unusual here about the Rambam is that he, going back to the bold words, okay, the Rambam started the meal by saying you have to eat meat. And the Rambam starts speaking about Mishmach Manot by saying you should send two portions of meat. And then he said, or you could send the other food. Okay, but it sounds like meat would be, if not preferable, at least a kind of a default. What is the difference between the way he formulates it for meat and the way he formulates it for other things? For meat, he says manot, and for other types of food, he says mine, types. Okay, we will see why this may or may not be significant. But in source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch, who usually quotes the Rambam word for word, he mostly quotes the Rambam word for word, but he makes one significant change. The Shulchan Aruch says, we'll just read the beginning of this, Chayav lishuach l'chaveiro shtei manot basar o shnei minei ochlim. You have to send either two portions of meat or types of food. He leaves out tavshil. Presumably, you could say, well, that's not significant. Tavshil is just a cooked food, and it doesn't have to be cooked, so it could be any types of food. Okay, but he maintains the distinction that the Rambam formulated, two portions of meat or two types of food. Why don't they say two portions of food? Shtei manot ochlim. Presumably,
I understand this literally. I'm just making a very thin view here. Shtei manot basar o shel mine ochlim. If I would understand that grammatically, it would be that shtei manot shel mine ochlim. It's two portions of meat or two portions of types of food.
So that's one way to make sense of it. In which case, it doesn't mean, because this would answer the question of what, you only have to give manot if it's meat? No, manot applies to both of them. But it's still significant that he starts with the meat and he goes on to other types of food. You'll notice that here that there are none of the chumras that were quoted in source number 3. None of those appear here. That's it. Two portions. A difference, by the way, a possible ramification between the two different ways of reading it that I mentioned that and that Yechiel mentioned it is that if you say it has to be, if you say the word manot applies to the second clause, to types of food, whatever the minimum of a mana is, then you have to give two of those. Okay? In which case, let's say for sake of argument, a mana is a filled plate. I just made that up. Okay? Then you have to give two filled plates. In contrast, if you say that, no, it's either two manot basar or shel mine ochlim, maybe two types of food, maybe give an apple and a piece of cake. And neither one is a mana, or even better. A friend of mine once wanted to give as many people as possible, and he was a poor student. So he collected, took a lot of little pieces of paper, and he stapled each piece of paper to itself, creating very, very, very small packages, and each one he placed one raisin and one peanut. Okay? Thus, it's two pieces of food. It's also two brachot, but that's irrelevant. Okay? Does that count? Well, technically, you could say that the Shulchan Aruch just says you need two types of food. A raisin and a peanut are two types of food. But if you say you need manot, you can make a good case that, I'm sorry, nobody counts one raisin as a portion. Whatever a portion of raisins is, it's not one. Okay? So that would be a practical ramification for that. The Mishnah Berurah does not add that many details. All he adds in source number 7 is Mine ochlim v'lo begadim u'sharei dvarim. You can't send clothes or other presents. You might think mana is a portion of something. So you want to send a present. No, in this case it has to be food. Okay, fine. V'adin mashkeh the shapir dami. But drink is good too. It doesn't have to be solid food. D'shtiyah b'chlala achila. Drinking is included in eating for this purpose. V'chein tzagi be'echad ochel be'echad mashkeh. So too, one piece of food and one drink. And now he adds something we have not seen until now. Ubeinan sheyihyeh min ochel hamuvushal v'lo basar chai. The food that you give should be cooked, or rather, already cooked and ready to eat, as opposed to raw meat. Why? D'mishloach manot haru'i miyad la'achiwa mashma. Send a portion presumably means a portion that somebody could eat right away. Which, you could argue, fits very well with the Truman Hadeshan. It's all about the meal. Give them something that they could eat. In which case, well, if you need preparation, like cooking it, maybe that wouldn't count. You could still argue that according to, how about if Mishloach Manot is all about spreading joy, you could argue that it doesn't matter, it's an impressive thing, okay, you'll have to cook it, but it's still impressive. Or you could say that, no, I'm sorry, I'm not very impressed that somebody gives me food that I have to prepare first. And then the Mishnah Berurah just concludes by saying, and some say, no, you don't need, you can send raw meat. That's actually good enough. Let's look at some contemporaries, 20th century people. Source number 8, Rav Harari in the Mikrei Kodesh quotes Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. Rav Harari asked him, Ube'inyan suge ugod v'ugiyot shonim, cakes and cookies of different types. Horeli hagon Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Shwita. He told me, she'im ha'ugod ohu ugiyot shonot ewa me'ewa, if the cakes or cookies are different from each other, b'tziratan o b'tziv'an, in their shape or in their color, kach shenikar she'in misugim shonim, as long as you could see, as long as you could look at it and say, oh, they gave me two types of cake. Okay, or two types of cookies, then nechshavot hein kishtei manot l'inyin zeh. That counts. In other words, it doesn't matter that they're the same thing. If you give two cookies, okay, one chocolate chip cookie and one raisin cookie, it's two different things. It's not just that there's two separate items, they're two types. You could, of course, respond, and that is presumably why Rav Harari asked him. Two cookies is two cookies. A cookie is a cookie. Okay, it doesn't matter that much, the difference. So that's the question. Is two variations of the same thing, does that count as one thing or two things? And Rav Eliyahu is not really bothered by this. He says, no, that counts. As long as people would look at it and say, oh, that's two things. So presumably, let's say, I don't know, two smiley cookies. You know, the cheap kind, they get in those large boxes where there's two expressions, but it's clearly the same cookie. Okay, so presumably that would count as one. You could argue that, you know, as long as your kids can distinguish between the types of candy, then it counts as different types of candy. But this would be an example of a leniency that, no, as long as it's two types, you can define two types very leniently. So you want to give, a red wine and white wine? Fine, they're clearly not the same type. A red apple and a yellow apple? Also fine. You will find chumras that reject these, but it's reasonable enough to say, as long as, well, what's Rav Eliyahu's criterion? As long as people would look at it and say, there's two different types, that's good enough. What's interesting here is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach goes so far as to say, in source number 9, quoted in the book Halichot Shlomo, the collection of his psakim, Shnei chalukim imin echad, two parts of the same thing, Hachalukim b'ta'amam, as long as they have different tastes, kigon hachelak ha'elyon v'hatachton shel besar ov uchadome, like a top and a bottom of chicken. Well, chicken is chicken, so I'd say, you know, you just gave two pieces of chicken. That's one type. He says, no, as long as they taste different, and everybody knows that different parts of the chicken taste different, so chashuvim kishtei manot, that would count as two different portions. And presumably by the same token, if you gave one chicken wing that's barbecue type and one chicken wing that's, I don't know, honey mustard, presumably that would also count, because people wouldn't say, I can't believe they gave me two of the same thing. They'd say, oh, wow, they gave me two different types of chicken. Okay? And it doesn't matter that it's still chicken and it might have actually come from the same bird. It doesn't matter. Although statistically, it's probably unlikely the way that we buy them. But okay, So far, in other words, these are the lenient approaches, and it makes a lot of sense. But what we're about to see, though, is actually a much stricter approach. And that's the Aruch HaShulchan. A more or less contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, wrote about 100 years ago. He says, he's going to argue with the Rambam. Ubarur hadavar, it is clear that tzarich lishuach shnei minei ochlin, you have to send two types of food, o shnei minei mashkin, or two types of drink, o min ochel min mashke, right, or one type of food and one type of drink, so far so good. And this is explicit in the Gemara. And he quotes from the first story in which one rabbi sent the other a leg of a calf and a barrel of wine. He says, what we see from here is not that you have to give that much, but meat and wine count. So you can't say that the wine doesn't count. It definitely counts according to that. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Shnei chatichot mimin echad, two pieces of the same thing, eino mo'il. Sorry, that does not work. Dechim mipnei shechatcha nechshavin v'shnayim. What? Because you cut it in two pieces that count as two? It's the same thing, right? So let's say I have a piece of paper here. So you say, look, I have a piece of paper. Watch this. I'm going to double my piece of paper. Now I have two pieces of paper. No, I don't. I have the same thing in two halves. I have not doubled it. It's not two different things. All I've done is just make the same thing in two different parts, but it's still the same thing. So he says that you can't say that you can give two pieces of the same thing. But now he has to deal with the Rambam. Because as we saw back in source number 5, the Rambam says you can give two portions of meat. And the Rambam does not say that they have to be from different types of animals. It sounds like two portions of whatever animal you're cooking. V'harambam katav, v'chein chayav lishuach shtei manot basar o shnei minei ochlin o shnei minei tavshil, haresha katav shnei minim. So the Rambam says you need two types. Yeah, well, but that's true. He said you need two types, but that's after he said two portions of meat. You have to say, the Aruch HaShulchan does not want to say the Rambam is wrong. He also doesn't want to say, I disagree with the Rambam. Instead, he's going to somehow explain how the Rambam agrees with him. How's that going to work? You are forced to say, when the Rambam says two portions of meat, he means two types, two portions of different types of meat. Even though he doesn't say that, he must mean that. Oh, Efshar, or alternatively, somebody made a mistake in copying the Rambam. The Taud had the Fushu, it must be a typo. The Chain Tzarech Lomar must be that the Rambam must have originally written Shnei Minei Basar, Kmo Shnei Minei Ochlin. It must be that the Rambam wrote Minim and somebody messed it up, because Manot, which is what the Rambam writes, as we have, it doesn't make any sense. Odnir Webazi, I have another answer, he says. Oh, I'm sorry, that's enough for, to explain the Rambam. Two very forced answers to try to justify how the Aruch HaShulchan really agrees with the Rambam. For us, we could just look at it and say, I'm sorry, Rabbi Epstein, but you're allowed to disagree with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Just say that it's a chumrah. Okay? The problem is the Aruch HaShulchan can't even imagine that it would be okay at all. So if you ever hear somebody saying, well, you can't give two pieces of meat, despite the fact that the Shulchan Aruch clearly says you can, they're being strict for this Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan even, but he goes one step further. Od nirali, it also seems to me, to bazeh eino dai b'kazayit uberaviyit. It is not enough to give what is normally the minimum amount of food for halachic purposes. How much, let's say, how much bread do you have to eat to be obligated to say per katamazon? Kazayit. Okay. How much, liquid do you have to drink in order to be obligated in bar nefashot? A raviyit. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan says that minimal amount of food or drink, that's not enough here. Despite the fact the Shulchan Aruch did not address it at all. The Shulchan Aruch did not give a minimum amount of volume. All he said was, following the Rambam, sounds like from the Gemara, sounds like from the Pasuk, two. Whatever two is. But there's nobody until now has mentioned any how much of each. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Debi'inan mana yafa. Mana, a portion has to be a nice portion. And what's after all, it says zehu lashon manot. What is a nice portion? Kinyan chaticha haruia litkabed. That's an expression that we find in a different context in halacha, and it means the size, a portion size which it is fitting to honor a guest with, or to be honored with, something that you would be happy to give an honored guest. Yeah, Yeah, so it sounds like this is, he's erring on the side of giving a lot. So how much is that? He doesn't say how what it translates into, but shehet davar chashuv, it has to be significant, important. Whatever you would give that's important, and you could argue that it depends on what kind of food you normally serve, or alternatively, what kind of income you have. There, if you're looking for chumras, there are some people who say, well, if you are wealthy, you can't just get away with giving two pieces of food. People would be like, what, that's all he gives? Just like Abaye had that snide little criticism, what, somebody, a peasant becomes a king and he still carries his basket? Like, you're a rich person, you need to be giving more. So the Aruch HaShulchan, it sounds like, based on a similar idea, you have to give two portions, and a portion means that which you would honor somebody with. Whereas people who send little pieces, they have not fulfilled the mitzvah of mishloach manot. This is the first place that we've seen so far that somebody actually says, sorry, if you do that, that's not good enough. Now, you could argue that even according to this Aruch HaShulchan, really all you have to give is one person two significant portions. Okay, fine. After that, you're not. After that, why are you giving? In order to have ahava and reyut, you want to spread the love. But presumably, the Aruch HaShulchan is referring back to the idea that, which fits with the Truman Hadeshin, it's a meal. You have to give somebody a meal, not just something that they could eat at the meal, something that you would be honored to give your guest. Please, you know, I'm serving you. What would you serve somebody as a meal? I'm sorry, but it's probably not little pieces of candy, or even an orange and a hamantash. Despite the fact that all the sources we saw until now would seem to indicate that those are okay, I think, it seems to me, even though the Aruch HaShulchan does not say it explicitly, it seems to me that he's really going back to the stories in the Gemara, in which each rabbi gave the other one large amounts of two items. Question?
If they're trying to associate with a su'udah, if we look in the simanim on chot su'udah, they had no problem trying to give a shiur for su'udah. Why are we giving something else?
I guess you could argue that that's the difference between what you would eat for yourself and what you would give somebody. In other words, you might, if it's just you and your family eating at home, you might eat just plain old regular food. But when you have guests, especially guests that you want to impress, so you raise the standards a little bit. I think the Aruch HaShulchan is assuming that if you're giving food, then you give the kind of food that you would want to honor somebody with. It's true that it does not say this in the original sources, but presumably he's asking himself, what's the point of giving if it doesn't count? And counting here, it's still subjective, but it counts as in, you're giving a meal. If somebody came to you for a meal, this is what you would give them. So hence, we end up with a very very strict opinion according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's skip now to source number 12. The Tzitz Eliezer, who only died a couple years ago, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, he disagrees with the Aruch HaShulchan's way of reading the Rambam. And he says, in my humble opinion, both alternate ways that the Aruch HaShulchan reads the Rambam, they're both wrong. The first way that he understands the Rambam is wrong. What was the first way? That when the Rambam says two portions of meat, he means from two different types of meat. That was the Aruch HaShulchan. And Tzitz Eliezer says, no, I'm sorry. That does not make any sense. Kimistimat was shown of Shoha Rambam from the straightforward way of, that the Rambam formulates it. Mashma desagi bebet manot basar afil mimincha. The Rambam says two portions of meat, and he doesn't give any more details. Presumably, it's two portions of meat, no matter what. No, even from the same type of meat. V'okim tahashini dechuka. And furthermore, the second alternate way that the Aruch HaShulchan reads the Rambam, namely that there must have been some kind of mistake. The Rambam didn't actually write manot. The Tzitz Eliezer says, that's forced. So you're saying that all versions of the Rambam that we know of, they're all wrong? All of them? Like all the manuscripts, everything? Sorry, that's it. If you said, well, I found a manuscript, okay, that's one thing. But you can't just make something up and say, well, I don't like what the Rambam says. Obviously, the Rambam would agree with me, so I know it says the opposite, but obviously somebody made a mistake. Sorry, that's not a serious way of reading the Rambam. Besides, the Shulchan Aruch copies the Rambam pretty much word for word, and nobody has any problem with it. So what's your problem, Aruch Shulchan? And furthermore, I'll say for the Divrei HaRambam, regarding the last words of the Rambam, that the Aruch HaShulchan is relying on Re'iti B'Rambam Hotzad Frankel, that's the closest thing to a Skarawi edition, a critical edition of the Rambam, the Frankel edition, Shemuvam Mikama Kitvayat, Shelo Katuv Behem B'Roshon Shnei, Kefisha Katuv Afaneinu, it does not say two items, two types of food. Ela katuv hanuscha shel shnei. So he's saying even if you look in the critical edition, you'll find that there is some other minor difference in wording, but not the one that the Aruch HaShulchan is referring to. Let's skip to the next paragraph. Umashem akshah Aruch HaShulchan midvarav sham, regarding the question that the Aruch HaShulchan asks, de'echav shar lefaresh bepashtut, how can you explain shekavanat haRambam u'shtei manot basar miminachad? How can you explain the Rambam to mean two types of meat from one animal? D'chim yipnei shechadcha nechshavin u'shnayim, what? Because you cut it, this is the example I gave with the paper, so you cut something in two, that suddenly becomes two different things, it's really the same thing. He says, that does not bother me at all. The Tzitzui Ezra writes, without tea, in my opinion, Nered Inachanami, yes, it's true. Ayideh Shechat Chan, when you cut a big piece of meat into two pieces of meat, Nechshavin Shapir Vishnayim, yes, that counts as two. Mipnei Sheyesh Shiyur Lemana, Uchdev Aer. As long as each one is the size of a portion, so, you know, taking the meat from the kitchen to the table, you're cutting it into, or putting it on the serving plate, or if you're putting it on each person's plate, you're cutting into portions. Each portion is significant. Originally, it was all attached to the same animal, but it doesn't matter. You cut it, and then it becomes different portions. That's the way we normally eat. And since that's the way we normally eat, so the Aruch HaShulchan, in saying, well, but they can't be two different portions, it's from the same animal, he says, but they are. That's the way that we relate to meat. You could argue for other types of food. You could argue if you cut a chocolate bar into two. Is it now two chocolate bars? So you could say, well, you know, that's a bad example. But the idea is that the way that we normally serve, what?
Presumably depends on the size.
Right. So that's why the Tzitzui Ezer says that as long as it's a reasonable size, then he thinks that the Aruch HaShulchan's objection, oh, we can't have two portions from the same original piece of meat. He says that's not a good objection. But the Tzitzui Ezer is about to agree with the Aruch HaShulchan that you need a significant size. Look at the last paragraph within number 12. V'zot ma sh'nira l'dati v'va'er b'kavanat divrei Rambam. It seems to me that what the Rambam means is as follows. The Rambam is of the opinion, if you arrange from one original piece of meat two portions, kebet manot basar, two portions of meat, that counts as two different portions. You have fulfilled the obligation. You're sending two pieces of meat to the same person. Why? Okay, now he goes back to the original source, in source number one. Yes, we are sometimes allowed to go back to Psukim in halachic discussions. In the original verse, lo nizkar shetzirich liyod zemi bet minim. It doesn't say it has to be from two different types. Elakatuv, all it says is, mishloach manot ish l'rehu, sending portions, one person to another. V'hainu, that is, dahakpeda ha'ikarit bazeh, the main thing that we should be careful about, he be'ikar shiyu bet manot. Two portions. That's what it says in the pasuk, and that's what we need. Two portions. And it doesn't matter, even if it's from the same thing. In other words, even if you have not just two different types of meat. Okay? But what would be an example of something where it's the same thing? I don't know, two chocolate bars. Okay, they're individually wrapped. They're clearly two different portions. Okay, you just gave two things that are the same thing. Is that one or two? So he says it's two portions. It's two portions. In this case, it's easier because you could buy them separately. It's two portions. So that, and since the original pasuk just says portions, what? So that's the thing. You wouldn't be able to use like the miniatures. So he's about to get to that. He's about to say that it has to be a significant portion. The question is, what's significant for chocolate? Even if it's from one item, it doesn't matter as long as it's two portions. However, you do have to define as follows: Mahu hakviut shel geder hamana. What? How do you define what a portion is? And this is not in the original sources. The first source that we saw that addresses it at all is the Aruch HaShulchan, only about 100 years ago. V'lezenir eli, the Tzitz Eliezer says, it seems to me, shakviut v'shiur hamana. The way to define a portion, he should tehe b'chol achat mehen shiur shel gimel beitzim mipat. Each portion has to be the size of three eggs, as we determine bread, or to put it in standard halachic terms, six times a kezayit. Okay, so if you assume that a kezayit is not actually an olive, but let's say a piece of bread, so we're not talking about a small amount here. Okay, in other words, one slice of bread, or even two slices of bread, or according to this, even five slices of bread would not be the size of a portion, depending on how you define a portion. But he's saying, at least when it comes to bread, a portion, yes, a slice of bread is not a portion. Presumably he's not talking about like a Weight Watchers type portion. Presumably, even though he doesn't formulate it in the terms of the Aruch HaShulchan, presumably he's thinking in those terms as well. It has to be a real portion, a significant portion. Where do you get three eggs from? Where is that phrase from? Shehu kadei shiur su'uda. That's the amount, the official formulation of a su'uda, at least in some context. U'bedomeh l'ma shemetzina b'shari tshuva shekotev b'nogeh w'shiur matana u'evyonim. That maybe for matana u'evyonim, it's not enough to give two coins, but rather a certain minimal amount of money. And some say, to fulfill matana levyonim, you have to give each of two poor people the amount of money that it would take to buy a meal, whatever. And so, that's a chumrah, but that's saying you can, one each does not mean one coin each, but one significant amount. And a significant amount would be presumably tying into to the meal. And he concludes, even those who say, you know, you don't need that for matana levyonim. It could be that everybody would agree here that you need a significant amount for each of the two portions. The pasuk says portions. A mana is a portion that is a meal. How much is a meal? A meal is not what we were imagining until now, which is a piece of food, which is what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so this is really all chumras now. He says, a mana is itself a meal. In other words, you send one person the amount of two meals. That's significant. Now, even according to the Tzitz Eliezer, you would only have to do that once during the day. But he thinks that if you just give small amounts, he says, that's not a mana. So we've seen, so it's funny, even though the Tzitz Eliezer started by disagreeing vehemently with the Aruch HaShulchan in terms of his understanding of the Rambam, they end up saying very similar things in practice. The Aruch HaShulchan says you need the amount that's a chaticha haruya witkabed, a significant amount that you would honor a guest with. And the Tzitz Eliezer says a portion, just like, I don't know, go to a falafel stand and you say, give me a mana, and a mana is a full falafel, pita, etc., right? That's the full thing. So that's not a proof. That would just be, that'd just be an example. A mana is a portion, it's like a meal. So according to this, then you at least once, you would have to give to one person, and your spouse, presumably once, would have to give to one person, portion to a person. Only once during the day, but according to this, then really if all you give hundreds of people, thousands of people, you know, combinations of candies and little bits of chocolate and orange and a small bottle of very sweet wine, because that's what you do, then according to this, then that would not be enough. So if you're looking for a chumrah, again, we saw from the Shulchan Aruch that presumably none of this is required. The Shulchan Aruch did not say any of this. But if you're looking for a chumrah, the chumrah is not two brachot. The chumrah is giving a significant amount. Let's look at... Yes?
You spoke about the idea, I mean, with everything that we talked about, that maybe the Shulchan Aruch should be part of the Suda, somebody's Suda. Now, are you allowed to partake of the same food that you give away? Let's say you're going to Suda, so you bring, I'm asking you anyway, a salad. It's got two types of vegetables, or two types of something in it.
What, you would honor a guest with a salad? Oh, okay. I guess it depends on this, on the salad and the guest.
Okay, so you bring a salad or not, okay? Whatever it may be. Instead of a basket of dates, because we just had super shot where one being sick and okay, so whatever.
Oh, that's where they got the dates from, okay, for that story.
So, you bring that along, are you allowed to partake of the same food? Of that food?
Once you give it to them. Oh, you mean before you give it to them? At the Suda. If they put it out at the table, then once they accept it, they could do with it whatever they want. Okay? There are questions about what if you give someone food that they can't eat, which we haven't addressed. Presumably, then, I don't know. Yeah, let's say, exactly. Peanuts to a peanut allergy person, candy to a diabetic, good tasting chocolate to somebody who only eats locally made. We'll leave it at that. So you could argue that it's not something that they could eat at the meal. Therefore, you don't fulfill them. And so we usually are pretty lenient. We assume, well, somebody in their family will eat it. But once you give it to them and they accept it, then they could do with it whatever they want. They could put it on the table, and once they put it on the table, then everybody's free to eat it. They don't have to eat it. It's not like it says, well, it's a meal and they have to eat it that day. I found, just based on my own personal experience, that usually people appreciate when somebody at some point during the day gives them something that they could eat, like on the spot or while they're running around, as opposed to like adults, especially if they're adults who are making deliveries. You know, a sandwich or whatever, a piece of kugel or something like that, especially if all they're getting is candy. Alternatively, there are people who would rather not have the sort of thing that's going to be chametz that they have suddenly after Purim. This is not a hametz anymore. This is chametz. And then you have to get rid of it before Pesach. I mean, so you could say it really depends on the whom you're giving it to. But it would seem even according to these chumras that as long as you give it to them, then that would be fine. I mean, you could argue, by the way, let's say you show up at somebody's suda, you see that they're in the middle of the meal, and you give them cereal and milk. Okay. You could argue that, I mean, you could have responded, well, you can't fulfill that because they can't eat it right now. They're eating meat. But nobody says that. Just because they happen to be eating meat doesn't mean that they couldn't. In other words, it's not my problem that they already started eating meat. I mean, I know, if you're giving milk, it makes more sense to deliver it in the morning. But if there's any objection to the cereal and milk, by the way, you could argue that when you eat the cereal, it's with the milk. And when you eat the cereal with milk, you only make one bracha. The problem there, now let's go back, this goes back to the way that we started. The problem there is not that it's one bracha. The problem is that it, right, since the milk is tafel, it's secondary to the cereal, as is illustrated by the fact that you only make one bracha on it, therefore it's only one portion. Possible. Well, if you give cereal in milk, then that would definitely be a problem. If you give cereal and milk separately, presumably that would be okay. Yeah, I. So that would be an example of something that people are not that careful about. I actually have a separate shiur about this. Maybe a different year. But I would say that every woman at some point during the day should take two pieces of something and hand it to someone herself. In other words, both because a woman, like a man, has all the obligations of Purim personally, right? Just like she can't say, well, you know, I didn't eat anything, I didn't have a Purim Suda, but at least I served the Purim Suda. No, that wouldn't be good enough. She has a personal obligation to eat it. So too, she has a personal obligation to give to someone. I mean, I don't want to go around saying that nobody's fulfilling the mitzvah. You could say, well, we're giving from our family to your family. That's what people have in mind. It makes sense. It doesn't seem to appear in the classic sources. That's why I'm not sure I would want to rely on it. In practice, it doesn't matter that much because Most of the Mishloach Manot that we give, though, as I mentioned before, we're not really worrying about being Yotze with them anyway. But once during the day, each person should give a significant, whatever the two amounts are, personally. Let's just look at, before we conclude, look at just a couple of other opinions as to practical examples of what works and doesn't work. And going back to source number 11, a contemporary Rav, in the book Hilchot Chag B'Chag, he starts by saying, "Tzarich lakpid sheyihyu hamanot kol achad misug acher shel basar o shnei minei peirot ukedomet." Each, if you're giving meat, you should give two different types of meat. If you're giving fruit, you should give two different types of fruit. And his footnote, he says, "Aniyut ati, in my humble opinion, yeshu dayek miwashon harambam sham." You can, based on a close reading of the Rambam, bet minei basar o bet minei ochlin shadafka bebasar o dagim. That it's only, when the Rambam says two portions of meat, it's specifically meat. Or if you want to extend that, you could say fish as well. That you can give two portions from the same animal. Because you cut up the beef or the chicken or the fish and give each person a separate portion. For that's why mo'il bet manot. That's why it's two portions even from the same animal. Aval be'ochlin, but when it comes to foods in general, it could go in, let's say, bet tapuchin, two apples, where each apple is discrete. You can't give two apples and say, well, this is two portions, because all you've done is give apples. You don't say passing around the meat and somebody takes two portions. Everybody understands it's two portions of meat. If somebody takes two apples, they took apples. It's not, we don't define it. We don't look at regular foods the way that we look at meat. He says, two apples is just, you know, apples, one apple, two apples, it's the same issue. So there would be a strict opinion to not give two apples. But even according to this, one apple and one orange would definitely be fine. And he says, and how do I know that this is, what's the support for this position? The story in the Gemara. The Shach Le Sak Tamrei V'Sak Kemach Kalui. One rabbi sent the other a sack of dates and a sack of the flour of roasted grain, sheyihia bet minim. It's two portions. Hare, we see from here, shatamarim, that the dates, afshem rabim ma'od, even though, how many dates are in a sack? Presumably hundreds. Even though there's a lot of dates in the sack, lo chashivi bet minim mishum ribui ha-peirot. He didn't just send a sack of dates, because that wouldn't be considered hundreds, it would be considered one. So a lot of the same type of thing, it's only considered one. The question would be if you have two different types of apples. But he says, if you just have two apples, sorry, that doesn't count. It's only meat. Meat is, that's why, going back to the way that we said way at the beginning, why does the Rambam use a different formulation, shtei manot? You could argue because it's only for meat that we say each piece is a separate portion. Whereas regular foods, we don't say that for. You could argue with this, but it's an interesting formulation. And the last source, the Yalkut Yosef, from the son of Rav Avadya Yosef, based on Rav Avadya's psakim. By the way, it's not on the sheet, but Rav Avadya apparently tells people that you can't fulfill the mitzvah just by giving candy. Because, you know, that's not significant. Don't tell anyone. Hashalech l'chaveiro basar u'bakbuk yayin u'kiyotze abo. Let's say you send somebody meat and a bottle of wine. Yotzei b'zeidei chovad mishloach manot. That's fine. Shamashken nechshev u'mana achat. That a drink is considered one portion. V'afiu shalach shnei minei mashkin b'vad. Even if you send just two drinks, yotzei dei chovad mishloach manot. That's good enough. V'tov l'hader, it is preferable to do it on a higher level, v'yishloach shnei minei ochlim, to send two different types of food. V'yesh v'yishloach hamanot shel ochlim shnei minim shonim. Two specific, not just, not to rely on the opinion that a drink counts, but to send two solid foods, and two different types of solid food. Aval b'min ma'achal achad. However, if you take one type of food, afilu chilko b'shtei tzalachot o ke'arot, let's say you divide it into two plates, and you'd say bazeidei chovad mishloach manot. That doesn't count. Just because you divide into two plates, it's the same thing. There's a little bit like we said before with the apples. Aval hashuach chatichot basar meivarim shonim. But if you send meat from different parts of the animal, as we mentioned before, afiumi behema achad, even from the same animal, yotze behemidei mishloach manot. That's great. Hawil behem chalukim b'tamam v'tivam, since they are different in their taste and in their nature. Skipping to the last paragraph, hashuach chaverot dag metugan im habeitzah she'alav. If somebody sends a fried fish that was fried with an egg on it, does that count as one or two? Yosifimo mana acheret. Sorry, that only counts as one. Okay, it's an eggy fish, but you've sent a fish. Shavadad kam achronim, because according to many achronim, hadag ubeitza she'alav, this was apparently a common dish at whatever point, the fish with the egg on it, nechshavim kamana achad when yinzeh. Sorry, that only counts as one. Not because a fish is shahakon and an egg is shahakon. We don't care about the brachot. But because they are cooked together and eaten together, that counts as one. V'hu adin v'misha shalecho chaveiro, muyata, pastil hamemula basar. You send a pastry, you know, that's filled with meat. Okay, it's normally eaten, the meat in the pastry. You don't separate them. That counts as one. Oh, isam etugenet shemumuwet betocha bezaronim vekitniot sambusach. Okay, I didn't know there was a chaf at the end. Okay, so you send some kind of a pastry that's filled with all sorts of things. You can't say, well, I'm going to divide into the different ingredients. No, I'm sorry. People normally eat it all together, so that counts as one. So here it depends on, these are contemporary examples, it depends on how people would normally eat it. But let's say you send bread and a cooked item. Chashuv kishtei manot, that counts as two, even though normally the way that you eat it is first you make a motzi, and then it all counts. No. We don't say if you send bread, then everything counts as one. That we don't do. Bread and anything else counts as two different things. V'yotzim bazeh yidei chavat mishloach manot. And that way you fulfill the mitzvah. Let's pull it together. Mishloach manot is all it says in the Megillah. And yet, from those two words, we somehow managed to get lots of different possibilities. It says to send portions. The Gemara says that portions, ish or ehu, means two portions to one person. That's the minimal obligation. And then the only question is, how do you define two? And what's a portion? So the standard interpretation from both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is that two pieces of food is good enough, as long as they are two types of food. And if it's meat, you can even have the same type of meat as long as, the way our commentaries say, as long as it's the two types of meat that from the same animal, but they taste different from each other. And then if you're looking for a chumrah, the chumrah is not that you need two different brachot. The chumrah would be to say that maybe the amount that you give, a portion, is not enough to have just one piece of food, which again is what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch, but maybe you would need to have a significant amount. According to the way the Aruch HaShulchan formulates it, an amount that's significant enough to give to honor a guest with, and the way that the Tzitz Eliezer formulates it, an amount that would be enough for a meal, which in practice means you give two meals worth. Even according to those strict opinions, you would only have to do that to one person. And for everybody else, you can give for the rest of the day as many people as you want, and it doesn't matter that much. Maybe you could even scandalize people by giving them like one type of food and see if they notice. Of course, then they'll realize that you're not fulfilling the mitzvah with them. So maybe that's not so happy. But since, as we mentioned before, of the two opinions, with this we'll conclude, the two opinions to understand Mishloach Manot, one is that it's all about the meal, and that certainly fits with the strict opinions we saw towards the end. Okay, but the other opinion, that's all about spreading the love and the friendship. So presumably, the more you spread it, the better. In which case, then you wouldn't worry so much about giving large amounts. You would worry, if you're worrying at all, about giving to as many people as possible. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much.